Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Evanston. This Sunday's podcast is comprised of testimony from our Youth Sunday service. If you'd like more information about First Presbyterian Church of Evanston, please visit firstpresevanston.org.
Our scripture reading today is from Psalm 138 in the Old Testament section of our Red Bibles, beginning on page 588. Psalm 138. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. How is everyone doing? Will you join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, I ask for your blessing as I speak to your people today, that you can touch the hearts of those who feel isolated and alone, that you can remind everyone just how big you truly are, how you hold each of us within your hands. Help those who feel worthless understand that they are special and they have a place in your family, our church. Praise be to God. Amen. I want to start off today by taking all of you back in time. Can I see a show of hands of who remembers this? It's okay if you don't. This was what we used before we had the fancy perforated edges of our bulletin that we could tear off and fill out. This red pew pad, as we called it, here is what it looks like on the inside, was the bane of my mother's existence, because my brother and I would fight over who got to fill it out. No, we didn't fight over who got to write our name, address, or contact information. No. You see those tiny little boxes in the corner? Yeah, we'd fight over those. Despite these debates that often occurred in the third pew right over there, that usually ended with my hair being pulled and the pad being yanked out of my hand, I miss these pew pads. You won't be able to see this, but on the front is written in gold letters, "Service in Friendship." These pads used to be passed to whoever else was in your row, and once they filled it out, they would pass it back down to you. This was incredibly helpful because I'm really bad at names. I could sit next to someone every week in church and still not know their name. But this pew pad let you know who was sitting in your row, and that way, during the Peace of Christ, you could shake their hand or, as we just did, high-five them, saying hi using their name. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the noise of the tear-off sheet makes, especially when all of us do it in unison. I think that it's really neat, modern idea. However, I think the red pew pads created a different atmosphere of getting to know the people you're worshiping with on Sunday mornings. Now, I promise I'm not just saying this to get all of you to agree to go back to the red pew pads. I'm going to connect this to the first part of the passage Alexis just read for us. If you still have your Bibles open, I want you to look at verses 12, 14, and this is the Colossians 3. As God's chosen people, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive. In these verses, Paul is entreating on the Colossians to act with each of these virtues. I don't know about all of you, but I know when I read this, I say to myself, well, that's great and all, but come on, Paul. Do I really have to do all these things all of the time? Let's be real here. How many of you can truly say that you exemplify all of these qualities in your day-to-day life? I know that I have a really hard time being patient when the car in front of me is going 30 in a 45. Though I think that Paul understood that he was asking the impossible, because in the next verse he says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Well, at least that's easier to remember, and it imitates what Jesus said was the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and mind. He then went on to follow it with, and love your neighbor as yourself. I'm reminded of the song that we often sang in church camp growing up. They'll know that we are Christians by our love. Paul is not asking the Colossians to do amazing miracles or risk their lives preaching about Jesus. Rather, he is asking them to love one another and each person they meet. Now, this isn't easy. I think it's easier to remember than the earlier list of virtues, but it's still difficult. I think that's why it's important to stay in fellowship with other Christians. They can help remind and support you when it's hard. So when it comes to passing the peace of Christ, don't just give love to the people you know and you've known your entire life. Branch out to your section of the church, meet someone new, and greet a visitor. Paul invites us all to worship together. In verses 15 and 16, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. Looking back to the time when I was a young kid, around the same age that I was fighting with my brother over who got to fill in the boxes, I remember how confusing worship services should have been for someone my age, but how joyous I was to be here each week. I know for a fact that I never understood the words I was singing or understood who I was singing to. But I think that I always felt who I was worshiping. I always felt the presence of God. There is nothing more special than seeing the first kids' choir come up to sing and see those couple of kids who don't really care about everyone who is staring at them, and instead start making up dance moves on the spot. I know we've all seen it. They might not know the words. They might not know the notes. They might be those kids that have pushed Hannah and Amanda to the very edge of sanity. Yet I can't help but smile when I watch those kids, because I know that in that moment, they're fully into worshiping God. They feel his presence. I think that is the perfect image for what is being said in Colossians 3:16 and for what it says in Psalm 138, verses 1 and 2. I give thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing you praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted your name and your word above everything. I think little kids get it better than most of us, that as we grow up, we start to focus on the minutiae of the Bible. We start debating various interpretations. We start having preferences towards one type of music or the other. We think about our day-to-day responsibilities and worry about having a mission for the church and having a quota to the number of people who should be attending our services. We look at the past like it's the picture of perfection, because our minds trick us into thinking that the world was always better in the past, that there weren't so many problems. We, I know for myself, I get caught up in all of this too, have lost what it feels like to worship as a child. Though the main purpose of the church is a place to worship God, it has always been something much more to me, and I think it is something much more to most people here. Worshiping God is not meant to be a solo activity. The church is a family, a community, and a place to let go of all of the pressures of the outside world. I call this place a home. I think that's the way God intended it to be. Paul mentions in his letter, since as members of one body, but what is this one body? What does it mean to be a part of that body? 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, "For just as a body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." I think this is a very important thing to remember as Christians. We can go out into the world and spread the good news. We can go on mission trips to help those in need. We can praise God and pray, but we also have to realize that we aren't alone in this effort. I am one of those people who hates group projects, mostly because I'm controlling and I need things to be done to a certain standard. I'm the type of person who will tell my partner that I will do it all. However, I know that I cannot be a Christian alone. I will always have God, but I also need the church. I need fellow Christians to support and help guide me. I don't know who I would be if I didn't have all of you in my life. I don't think I would know God at all if I hadn't had help figuring out things along the way. 1 Corinthians continues on in verses 15 through 21 to say, "If the foot would say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' and the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.'" I love these verses because it's a reminder that everyone, even the smallest of children to the oldest adult, has a role to play. Everyone has a part in the church, and everyone is welcome because everyone is needed. Corinthians says in verse 26, "If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." This is what it means to be in the body of Christ. It means to be among people who also understand what it means to worship God, who will rejoice with you in your triumphs and cry with you in your sorrows. There are so many little things from this church, like this red pew pad, that formed who I became. I couldn't be in Brownies because I was in M&M Club and they both met on Wednesday nights. I used to bring a pillow and blanket and sleep during my mom's children's ministry meetings. This is the place where I learned that it was unacceptable to take 10 Oreo cookies from the cookie plate during fellowship hour. And I still remember missing my friend Abby's 6th birthday party because I didn't want to wait another year to take the communion class. My best friends have always been people from the church. They are the ones who I have the toughest conversations with, who I share some of the hardest things that have happened in my life. They are also the people who are my happiest memories. Though being a part of this family has been the greatest part of my life, this family, like all families, comes with responsibilities. Our last verse, Colossians 3:17, states, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Psalm 138:8 says, "The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands." It is important to remember that in whatever you do, God will be there with you. But you have to remember to do something. Our faith is not a passive faith. It's one of action. God is working through each one of you. 1 Corinthians 12:27 through 30 says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues? Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? I just wanted to leave you with a single thought that I want you to mull over this next week. Which part of the body are you? What gifts do you have to give back to the Lord, to the church? Everyone has a special role to play because that's how God made you. I want you to look at the youth standing before you today, and I want you to not see inexperienced teenagers who don't know what they're talking about. I want you to see the future of the church. Each of us is talented in our own unique way, and I'm so proud of everyone who has participated in this service. Here comes my shameless plug. Many of us are going to be using our gifts to serve the Lord this summer in New Orleans. I invite everyone here today to come join us upstairs for the Mardi Gras-themed fellowship time and listen to what we have to say about our mission trip, and it is also a great time for you to ask any questions. Also, during the offering, there is an envelope in your bulletin, and if you would like to donate to the mission trip, that is a place that you could donate. The youth are still trying to figure out what our role in the body of Christ is. I hope that if you're curious, or if you've been feeling God tug you towards something, that you also explore with us the different ways to be involved in God's family. Thank you.